I'm Jeremy Meeks.
I'm David Helm.
I'm K. Edward Copeland.
And this is Preacher's Talk, a podcast for preachers and those who love preaching. Preacher's Talk is brought to you both by the Charles Simeon Trust, who train Bible teachers to handle the Bible better, and Nine Marks, who provide resources to build healthy churches. To learn more about both these organizations, you can go to simeontrust.org and ninemarks.org. Gentlemen, today I want to talk about process, namely your very personal sermon writing process.
Oh, man. My weekly experiential way of working?
That's right.
That's going to cause an existential crisis around the country.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's right. So I know we get this question all the time at workshops, at Charles Simeon Trust workshops. I know we get this question all the time here at the Chicago Course on Preaching with Stu. Just like, okay, how do you actually work? How do you actually do what you do?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to get into the details. I want to get into the weeds. I want our listeners to understand how the sermon sausage gets made from start to finish, at least in your offices. So, Ed, I want to start with you.
Okay.
I want to start with you. Give us a detailed account. We'll ask you questions along the way. Give us a detailed account of your process, essentially from the time you exit the pulpit on Sunday until the time you get back in there.
Okay. I'm going to go with a typical week, recognizing
right, as if that existed.
Yeah, as if that existed.
Right.
Recognizing there's some weeks where everything goes haywire. But in an ideal week, and in most weeks, when I leave the pulpit Sunday, I'm going to give me a good Baptist nap. And I'm going to, at some point, I didn't used to do this, but I reflect or listen back to the sermon I just preached because I'm preaching in a series.
But you listen to your own preaching?
I do. I didn't used to, but I do now.
That's after that Baptist nap.
Yeah,
that's right.
I got to have a nap first.
Oh, my goodness.
Got to cleanse the palate. And then I just listen just to sort of refresh my mind on, did I accomplish what I said I was going to work on this week?
Right.
I'm talking about the technical pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of actual sermon prep, I try to Sunday night, whatever I'm going to be preaching for the next Sunday, just read it. I'm not doing any work. I'm just like, okay, calibrate myself for the week.
Good.
So Monday and Tuesday, I get out a big, I think they call them butcher block.
Yeah, paper.
I get a great big old piece of paper. My desk is a architect's drafting table. I get a big piece of paper and just spread it out on the desk.
Right.
And I write out the scripture.
Mm.
I preach from the New American Standard. I just write it completely out. And as I'm writing, I just underline, highlight, circle words. Okay, I need to look this up. I wonder what this is talking about, so on and so forth. And on that same piece of paper, I put down which on our worksheets, that is, I put context, structure, author's aim.
So you're getting the Bible out of the Bible.
I'm getting the Bible out of the Bible.
And putting it onto paper longhand.
Longhand.
Okay, I love that. What benefit does that do for you in process?
What the benefit it has for me, because I used to do everything by computer.
Mm-hmm.
Benefit it has for me, it makes me slow down.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because my mind is such that I'm revving at too high a meter, whatever the correct term is. The tachometer is going too fast.
That's beyond me.
Yeah,
fast.
We're preachers. We're not mechanics.
Right. And I need to figure out a way to slow down. And I check myself, because if I can't sit down, if I'm anxious or if I'm, you know, trying to do something else, that lets me know, okay, I'm not in the right place spiritually. Right.
Yeah.
If I can't sit down just these few little minutes, and it doesn't take long at all to write this scripture out, what's the problem?
Mm.
So first of all, it's a self-diagnosis.
Yeah.
That, okay, is my spirit settled enough for me to sit down and copy this scripture out?
So it's an unhurried beginning.
It's an unhurried beginning.
That lets you see details that this double column editorial thing between covers doesn't always help with.
Exactly. And it's a way for me to check my spirit.
That's great.
And it helps me. I found this out. It's easier for me to memorize when I write it.
Right.
If I'm just reading it all, I can read it all day and read it over and over and over again, but it's not helping me to metabolize it.
Mm-hmm.
The more I write it
Internalizing.
It's internalizing.
So, okay. So you're doing this, like you said, Monday, Tuesday. Are you writing it out, writing your notes, and then you're done with it, or do you keep coming back to this thing?
I keep coming back to it. So I'll write it out the first thing. I wish I could do it on Sunday night, but it usually don't. Monday,
right.
I'll write it out. And then things come up, you know, interruptions, but I have a big old sheet of paper on my desk that I just keep coming back to.
Right. Okay.
I have, you know, the context, the structure and stuff. So I start trying to work on a little, what do I see here? Mm. What do I need to look up? What do I completely don't even understand so that I can come back to it and study it? And I just start getting a flow, a feel for the text in terms of tone. That's all I'm working on Monday.
So then, like, if I'm looking at your paper, like, all of a sudden there's this little part of the paper that deals, you're putting all your context stuff up there.
Yeah.
You're putting your structure somewhere else, but you can see it all in front of you.
I see it all in one piece of paper. In one piece of paper. All the scribblings, everything. And as well, this is the other reason I use a great big piece of paper. Everything that would usually distract me, like, I got to go pick up this, I got to take care of that. There's a section on that big old piece of paper right here, the right-hand corner, where I park everything that would be a distraction. So do this, do that. Right. Now I don't have to think about it. Let me look at what I'm looking at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bet I appear in that little corner once in a while. Like, I do not call Dave Helm.
It's the only part of the sheet that's printed.
Right. And so then what I do between Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm working on having done as much as I can on context and structure. If I get my structure done on Monday, I feel it's going to be a good week.
Right.
If I, my structure and my emphasis, at least the first go at it.
Sure.
It might not be word crafted right, but hey, I see how this is laying out. I see what the sort of thrust is.
Yeah.
If I can get that Monday, that's a great week. Now, every week is not great, but that's what I'm shooting for. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm trying to focus in on the best gospel connection in light of the structure.
Okay.
Now, sometimes it flows out naturally.
Right.
Scripture is like fruit. Sometimes the scripture is like a banana. You just peel it, it's right there.
Yeah. Hey.
Sometimes it's a pomegranate. You got to, you know, it's messy. You got to slice it right. You don't
just
even know.
Falling all over the ground and staining everything.
And sometimes it's a concrete parking pad that you can't get under.
So every week you can't, I mean, but the goal is to really make a solid, to discern a solid gospel connection that is flowing with the emphasis as well as the argument that I'm going to be trying to make. Then after I get the gospel connection and feel pretty confident about that, the outlining and how I'm going to make application is what I'm doing next. And I'm doing all of that on that big sheet of paper. If you look at the paper, you think it's just
gibberish.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But I could actually, because here's the other thing. The reason I'm doing this too, I'm trying to get proficient at preaching without notes. And so the more I can visualize everything, the better off I am. And I could literally preach from that big sheet of paper, even though it's not in order. It's not organized anyway. But everything I need to say and everything that I want to cut out. So on that paper as well, I'm putting everything that comes to mind in terms of application, illustration, you know, how can I fine tune this argument and whatever. So that by the time I get ready to transfer that to computer, or sometimes I don't even transfer it to computer. I transfer it to just one sheet of paper that I'm actually doing handwritten on. Because it depends on how much computer time I've had that week. Because I'm at the age where my eyes can only stand so much and my brain can only stand so much of a screen.
Right.
You know, Zoom hadn't helped that out at all. So sometimes I'm literally handwriting the thing, if nothing else, just so I don't have to look at a screen.
Right.
But my point is simply this. After I've gotten everything out, I see what I want to cross out. What did it make? Yep. Okay, that don't even make any sense.
Right.
Or, man, I need help with this or whatever.
The cutting room floor.
That's right.
Put it down in a way that I can preach it. But quite frankly, what I've found is I've been doing this, and this isn't how I started out, but all the software, that now has sermon builder stuff in it, and I tried all of that. That didn't work for me at this stage in my preaching journey. If I do all the work I've just described to you, I can preach even if I don't have the notes.
Right.
Cool.
Because I've written it out, and sometimes I write it out more than once, but even as I've written it out, I've circled it, it's embedded in my mind.
Right.
So I can almost quote it, even though I wasn't trying to memorize it, because I got the visual.
Yep.
And if I have to preach it, and I've left my notes, hey, I can preach it because I can see it.
Right. That's great. And I'm glad we started with you, because Dave, Now we're going to move to you.
Yeah, well, I'm
pretty
sure,
much exactly the same.
We're all
right?
different, aren't we? But I just, as you finish, you and I are very different, but very similar. But I just had this vision of you like stepping up into the pulpit with this long scroll,
exactly.
You know, and like rolling this thing out.
I won't keep you long today.
Yes.
So there's elements that work for you now that are very similar to me, but we work very differently. But I've also worked differently over time. So let me say this to guys that are out there listening.
Yep.
If you're young, there's really no substitute for the mechanical, disciplined, you can call it isolated silos of an exegetical process where you're doing this and then that and then this. But yeah,
right.
The longer you go, some of this stuff starts to be more fluid.
Right.
And different things come at different times. So for me, I don't have a desk. What do you have, a drafty table? I don't have a desk. There's no desk in my office.
It's insane.
I hate desks.
Yeah.
I hated school. School was associated with desk. I'm not going to have a desk in my office.
Great argument.
But that said, early on, I did have one. But since 2007, when when the financial crisis hit and being a church planter, we had to exit a more than expensive space we were renting for an office.
Yep.
At that point, I started working from home. And so I started working from the living room. So I started working from a chair and an ottoman. And now here we are 13, 14 years on the backside of that. If you come to my office now, I got this tiny little fake leather chair and a 15 by 15 little ottoman. And I sit in the chair and my Bible's on the ottoman. And rather than one big piece of paper, I use a ton of little pieces of paper.
Right.
So I still compartmentalize things. Back when I went to Brazil once, they had these wonderful size little sheets that I love because I can stick it in my Bible and I can go into the pulpit with one or two pieces of paper that are really pretty seamless. But what's my process? So I sit there, I open it, I read it. Sometimes I write it out like you do. I don't always do that. But the first step for me on process is structure. So how is the text organized? And I'm not even reading the text for content or sermonic stuff. I'm really reading it kind of in a dispassionate way of just language and organization and parts and how do the editors divide this and therefore how many parts do they see and where are their paragraph breaks and then I begin to read and I move on structure first and that may take me one day like you. I kind of want to get the structure and emphasis down one day. Sometimes it takes you longer. Sometimes it takes you less.
Sure.
But I separate out the sheets. So I have these tiny little sheets and I'm writing all the structural stuff all over it. And I just lay that under the Bible. And then I start going like, you know, context, literary context. And I have another sheet on that. I have another little sheet on, you know, gospel connection. I have another little sheet on application. I'll have another little sheet on introduction and conclusion ideas. And so I'm sitting there poring over my text on this little platform in front of me. And I'll probably have by the end of the week, 7 or 8 little sheets around. And I'm adding to them all the time. And then really toward the end of the week, I try to simplify that. So I try to take everything down from like 7 or 8 little sheets like that. And I try to get it down to 1 or 2. Mm. And then usually I go home. And I feel like I could preach from that. If all I had was that, I'd go home.
Yep.
But then on Sunday morning, I'm up at 5. And really from 5 to 8, I am turning the screws on the language with which I can, with simplicity, state those things, which I now know hold the sermon on 2 pages, 2 little, you know, 4 by 6 pages.
Wow.
So that's the way I do it. But I also think that it's my own experiential way. I think it would cause other people an existential crisis.
It causes me an existential crisis every time I walk in your office. Just looks like a paper bomb went off. But it works
for you.
But
that's where the sermon sausage gets
made. That's right. And we're actually going to, I'm going to post pictures of both of you. I'm a picture of the big butcher block sheet and then Dave's paper disaster. And we're just going to, so everybody kind of see like, hey, these are two very different ways of working. You're both working longhand. You know, Ed said that he like used to work on a computer, now works longhand. Have you ever worked on a computer?
Yeah, I don't work on a computer.
Okay.
That's really destructive for my process.
Okay.
And I don't preach from notes that I put on a computer. So, and a lot of times by the time I get done with something, if I come back to it 2 years later, I can't even read my own writing. So I have to start over again anyway. But no, I find that longhand writing is all I do. I kind of see things that kind of the hieroglyphics on the page can get it done for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. We initially started off joking about how, okay, this is your kind of typical process, but there is no typical process because pastoral ministry is what it is. I'm curious, do either of you guard all of, some of, any kind of part of your process, like time-wise or anything, like zealously, like, okay, life's going to be interrupted, but at this time, I'm just going to lock something down?
I try my best to do that, yes. So definitely Tuesdays, I don't have anything. We have a Bible study in the evening, but like Tuesday during the day, I'm really praying and just meditating. If I had a good Monday, that is, got my structure and the aim, then even Tuesday, I might not even do a whole lot other than just look back at it to make sure that that's right, pray about it, so on and so forth. But to answer your question, yes, I tried to, and I failed a lot.
Sure.
I fail a lot. I've gotten better over the years, but yes, I try to guard the first part of the week, because if I wait till Wednesday to really get going, Wednesday and Thursday, right, it's going to be a rough Sunday.
Sure.
So I try to guard my Mondays and Tuesdays as best I can.
Okay. Dave?
That's a little interesting. So I have a staff meeting first thing Monday morning. That's what I do first. And then I have the administrative stuff on the backside of that. So I generally think of the first day as, you know, right away, I try to get as much administrative stuff out of the way as possible because it sits in my head.
Right.
And then Friday afternoon, I come back to administrative stuff that's required for Sunday. So like just now before we came in to do this,
yep,
I just sent out to my elders, you know, we're installing elders and deacons this Sunday. Here's the order of service, you know. So I spent a half an hour getting all that down, that administrative stuff down. But I find that if I can clear the little things of my mind, your right-hand corner down there,
yep,
yeah,
if I can get that stuff done by Monday at 1 or 2, then everyone in the church has got their, we all got our marching orders and we know, right, what we're trying to do. And I kind of try to clear that house out first.
That's great. Now, here's a question. So you guys have got this process. You've honed this process over time. What do you do? Maybe this never happens to you, but if it were to happen to you, what do you do when the process doesn't seem to work? You know, you come up against that text that just seems like an uncrackable nut. Right. What are you doing that maybe it's something different than your process? Maybe it's just doubling down on your process. I don't know. But what do you do when you hit that kind of thing?
I'm doing two things. I'm doing self-examination, first of all, to see, is it me in the sense that I've just been so distracted that I'm really not giving the process its due energy,
okay,
and due time? And if, in fact, I literally have been wrestling with the text, then I double down on prayer and I'm like, you know what? I've done everything I know how to do. So this is on you and you're going to have to show me what to do. So what I've experienced, and again, I've been pastoring at this church for 19 years this year, I've experienced two things. And that is, if something has happened that I had no control over, emergencies, disasters, or whatever, in the first part of the week or during the week, that really interrupted the process, or I felt like I couldn't really latch onto the process like I wanted to, God always makes up the time on the back end. If I'm wrestling with the text, I'm literally putting the time in.
Sure.
You know, I've canceled out everything. I'm struggling with this text because I see it's really a tough one. And the nut is not cracking. I mean, it's a pomegranate. It's messy, but I don't get no fruit. I just got a lot of frustration and juice. Then at the same time, I recognize, God, I've put in the work. This is on you now.
Yeah.
Whatever comes out of this, and without fail, either at the last moment or somehow another, he makes up the time.
Right.
He delivers in a way that I was not anticipating. And sometimes I recognize that, because the third thing is that sometimes I recognize that I'm trying to be too much of a loner. I need to call somebody. Hey, brother, I'm working through this text. Man, can we talk through this together?
Right.
What's going on? And sometimes it's because I needed to reach out. I'm too self-centered or too isolated.
Right.
Yeah, that's a bad word.
And not taking advantage of the fact that, okay, I'm not the only one preaching. I'm not the only one preaching the gospel. And I'm probably not the only one preaching this text. So let me reach out.
There you go.
And get some insight, some inspiration, or some help from another brother.
Dave?
Well, okay, so a couple of things. Prayer. So prayer is part of the process.
Yeah.
And prayer, a lot of times, when you get to that moment, they become pleadings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess another word for me is I just keep pounding.
Yeah.
So people do what people do. Preachers have to prepare. I just keep pounding. And interestingly, the Holy Spirit at times, you know, you're not even doing your sermon. I've woken up, you know, 3 a.m. and all of a sudden all the questions I had
right.
at night were answered by the Holy Spirit saying, this is the word. And it all made sense exegetically and the rest. So he delivers. And then, you know, you got to have patience. You got to realize that you can't every week, you're not going to feel as though you got all that done.
That's true.
And so there's a real weakness in preaching.
Right.
And there are times where you get done and you're at the back of the auditorium and you're processed, you're getting ready for the next one. And you just look at your people and you feel in your heart, well, that was that. I hope they come again.
Yeah.
Because that I gave all my effort. My effort never changed, but the sense of ease with which that preached was nowhere close to what I would desire.
Huh.
But you got to realize that doesn't affect what God is trying to do.
Right. Right. So if I'm hearing you both right, then we need to have a process.
Yeah.
We need to work the process the best we can all the way along, relying on God, because without any of his assistance, all of our efforts are going to be for naught.
Yeah, right.
And at the end of the day, know that our process is going to carry us, but only carry us so far, but it's just part of what we do.
That's it.
So with that, encourage everybody to have a process, to work on their process, to figure out what works for them, because clearly you two work in different ways. And that God would bless our efforts.
I just love the idea of Copeland not hiding behind a pulpit. But
exactly.
Just hiding behind that big old thing, looking out with his glasses. Like Kilroy.
And preaching.
And preaching.